Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. You know, you've got to talk about an incredibly messed up world out there politically anyway. Let's start with Hunter Biden, Jimmy. You know, there are a number of people who are doing hard time right now for possession of cocaine, for possession particularly of crack cocaine, and et cetera, et cetera. Hunter is walking away scot-free, bud. What do you think about that? And why is that? Obviously, it's happened because of who his dad is.
Well, clearly, he had, clear evidence, his own personal videotapes that he recorded, left on his laptop in an unbelievably, stupid set of circumstances, because he was so addicted and so messed up with drugs. But the biggest irony here is the person that spoke about it, and there's a lot of video on it that was so strong on the crack cocaine epidemic that's been hitting this nation for a long time, but in the 90s was Joe Biden as a senator. And he stood up and said, hey, the size of a quarter, you need to go to prison for a long period of time. And of course, videotape of Hunter Biden standing there weighing large amounts of crack, smoking lots of crack. Not only that, but standing naked in front of a video camera with a weapon that he purchased after fraudulently signing documents saying that he was not addicted to drugs and not a drug user, definitely a felony. And clear information of him spending money to transport prostitutes to pay for prostitutes to come across state lines.
Yeah.
These are very, very serious allegations. But here's the crazy thing, Al. The grand jury that was impaneled to look at these issues was actually disbanded this week.
Yeah.
Which means they would have to start again. They did not put indictments out. So there's other evidence. There are other ways to do this. But there's some very fishy events going on behind the scenes here. And as far as I'm concerned, these are not the real issues. The real issues are the corrupt business dealings that he and his father had.
Well, I'm not sure how you, I know how you can say that, but it's amazing how I really believe that when you look at all of the evidence that's coming up, in the laptops, when you look at all of the evidence that's coming up just in terms of photographs, et cetera, I really believe that there is a love-hate relationship between Hunter and his dad, and I really think that Hunter is trying to basically hurt his father politically as much as he possibly can.
Maybe subconsciously he's doing that, but at the same time he's defending him vigorously, and his father's defending Hunter vigorously.
Yeah.
The problem is they had this deep level of corruption, which is not uncommon in Washington and anybody with power. It's quite common, that has gone so far and so deep that now they're kind of stuck owning this problem. And that's the problem with the Democratic Party. They're stuck owning the problem because the media, the law enforcement, apparently the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, all these people are continually covering for these mistakes, and not just mistakes, but illegal criminal activities. And again, what I'm more concerned about is the financial relationships with Communist Party-related intelligence officers from China, the corruption that went on in Ukraine, and of course we still have tons of money being poured into Ukraine right now to support this, ungodly and terrible conflict that continues.
Yep.
And you've got an entire media complex that's actually protecting and not looking and not honestly assessing things that are really dangerous and damaging to not only U.S. national security, but all of our economic interests. And of course, it's just, blatantly corrupt.
It's blatantly corrupt. But I guess the question that I have, Jim, is how much really strong influence is coming in from overseas on all of this? Because this is making the United States look about as bad politically as is humanly possible. So how much of this is being influenced by overseas input, in your opinion?
Well, I think there's a tremendous effort. There's no question the Chinese government, the Chinese Central Communist Party and the Central Committee have a stated agenda to control basically the Asia-Pacific region and ultimately be the economic and military power in the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evidence that they're gaining that ground very rapidly. They are having problems. They do have demographic problems. They do have some financial issues. But remember, it's an authoritarian government. They could absorb a lot of pain because they don't care about their citizens in order to achieve their goals.
Yes.
And my view is the entire COVID-19 lockdown with the release of this, whether it was accidental or on purpose from the Wuhan lab, had created such conditions that they were able to mobilize fear in Western media and shut down economies that absolutely damaged the American worker and has a long-term effect. Now, that was done in a propaganda media effort unlike the world has never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're continuing to see those types of actions that actually change the outcome of the 2020 election in the United States, even if you don't consider the potential corruption in the election itself. And there may be questions about who's involved in that. But I will just say, even without that, the media propaganda that came from that cost the previous administration the election. And the lockdowns, the impact, the pharmaceutical industries, of which the vast majority of them produce in China and make a fortune off this entire debacle, and are protected by these insiders, the deep state in Washington. It's incredible to me that people don't realize and haven't actually, that the media has covered it up. But it's actually not when you start looking at who owns the major media corporations in the U.S. and their interest of being involved in China. And that's where we get right back to the point where people are willing to do anything in order to protect those markets and those financial investments in China, and they know the Chinese will penalize them.
Yeah.
And that was evident yesterday when the recordings released of Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, and other members of the legal office saying they wanted to be careful what they said so they don't offend China in order to keep their contracts and keep the investment in China for the future for their business.
A lot of multimillionaires being made here. Jim, did you want to make some initial comments about what's going on in the Ukraine, and then we can chat more about that in the following segment?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to highlight, you know, right now, okay, there's something, and we'll be really quick about this. We've only got a couple of minutes, but, you know, they did cut a deal with Russia, it looks like, to export grain, and that will relieve some of the world food pressures, but unlikely to actually stop the possibility of food shortages for many, many poor countries around the world. The United States is going to suffer from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem right now is as Russia has a closer border to the eastern portion, they're able to resupply and control and consolidate along that eastern corridor, the Donbass region, to protect that Crimea interest. But here's what I think. I'm going to speculate. I'm going to say it here on the radio. I believe that the Croatian government is preparing probably for a large offensive operation. And it will be similar to what the Croatians did against a much larger, much more powerful Serbian army in 1995 to clear out the United Nations protection areas that were controlled by Serb insurgents and the Serbian army, the UNPAWS,
yeah,
in April 4th and 5th of 1995. They had a massive, massive assault that lasted a couple of months and basically cleared out their entire territory. And I believe that prior to the winter, while they have maneuvering space and the Russians are basically tapped out with the amount of combat power they can put back into the theater, I think the Croatians are going to attempt a major operation like that to clean out their areas. I don't know how it will turn out, but it's definitely going to be a wild ride in August and September in Ukraine.
Well, I think it's going to be a wild ride in the world, particularly, I think, as we get more into the domestic elections here. I think it's going to be a very, very wild ride. You guys, we're going to talk about that more as the program progresses. Stick around.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Time to our short segment in KER Politics Weekend Radio. This we have 8.5 minutes in this particular segment. We're going to opine a bit on the Boris Johnson situation. I thought the Boris Johnson, I think quite frankly, he accomplished quite a bit for the United Kingdom. And I think he was instrumental in the Brexit exit, for lack of better terms. And I think that was good for the UK. Jimmy, your turn.
You know, there was he gave his farewell speech to the British Parliament.
Right.
In that speech, he's pretty funny. He got a standing ovation. The things that he said that he did, which are true, he initiated and started the process for Brexit to bring the United Kingdom back to sovereignty and out from under the yoke of the European Union,
right,
Parliament and the European Union system, that the bureaucracy that had evolved in Brussels. He, good or bad, he got them through the COVID issues, and he did open up the UK quicker than any other European country and allowed people to move back freely in there. Now, there's some arguments about how successful, of course, we're all getting more and more information of the corruption with COVID in general. But he did work that way, work that through. He did cut taxes and regulation in the UK. He was favored by his constituency and actually brought about the largest victory by the Conservatives in the history of the UK. Now, those are pretty powerful successes,
yep,
in a very few short years.
You bet they are.
But the downside is, internally, one, he's a bit of a character. He had done some things that people were especially within his own party, that they did not like. There was some internal disputes that actually brought the collapse of his government down. And some of that was just internal politics for who's going to be in power and who's not. And they saw an opportunity and they pushed him out. So we're going to see what happens. They're now down to two candidates. I think the foreign minister, the former foreign minister, a woman, and secretary of the treasurer, their chancellor of the exchequer, I believe, are the two finalists from the Conservative Party,
right,
that are going to run for the position to take over as prime minister. And they're going to be voted in by the Conservatives. And it looks like the former foreign minister, the female, probably has the advantage in that race. Ultimately, they're doing... this is internal politics.
Right. I would have to say that the colorfulness, the uniqueness of Boris Johnson's personality, and he was very unique with his personality, the party, for lack of better terms, the social gathering, I guess I should say, that occurred at Downing Street, which was a festive occasion, really did occur. In my opinion, though, it's a somewhat of an inappropriate time. He did not set a good example with that party, social engagement, I should say, for what I think that probably Britain was doing the right thing there. Although it's been proven since then that a lot of the actions, the shut-ins, etc., have proven to be very, very ineffective. As is evidenced by the fact that the President of the United States, now having been kind of the poster child for the U.S. policy towards COVID, including all the shots, including all of everything else, now has COVID. So that pretty much proves conclusively that a lot of those actions were totally ineffective.
Yeah, and that what we're seeing, yeah. Two shots and two boosters, and he still got it. And of course, we're seeing that all around the country. So
yes,
the initial statements that the vaccinations would actually do what vaccinations are supposed to do, keep you from getting the virus, were lies. Those lies were perpetuated without data. We know that the research is limited because there really hasn't even been enough time to study the long-term effects of this. And we're actually seeing a large number of adverse reactions all around the world. And that's being reported in the UK, in Spain, in India, all over the world, in the course of the United States, while the media still covers it up. So, Boris Johnson, he had a tough time with it. Initially, it was frightening for him, overweight guy. And of course, Donald Trump got it while he was in office. He managed to get through it pretty quickly. without prior to the vaccines. And then we've got, and this was both Johnson and Trump. And now we've got Biden, who apparently has mild symptoms. The argument will be, oh, well, you know, he was vaccinated, so that reduced the symptoms. But the reality is we do not know whether or not the vaccines have any negative impact over the long run on the virus, because most information now shows that after a period of time, the vaccines clearly diminish in their effectiveness as they continue to push additional boosters.
Well, as far as Al Corlin is concerned, Al Corlin had both the two initial jabs, and then he had the booster after that. And after he had the booster, he did contact COVID purely and simply, tested positively, and was stricken with COVID officially for about 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, and it's tough. I had it a couple of times, tested positive. I didn't take any medication. I didn't do anything. I got through it. I'm in a, you know, getting close to that age group where would potentially be at risk, and they strongly recommend it. There's no way, because it appears that there's a lot of information that of the negative effects in the long term of the mRNA technology that's used for this. And there's more and more evidence coming out that it's potentially damaging. And of course, you know, each one of these leaders that push that, we're going to say, I'm going to say initially, you didn't have much data, but then you find out from people like Deborah Birx, who in her own book states she manipulated information to hide it from Donald Trump,
right,
because of her own objectives. You see Anthony Fauci, which is continuing to cover up issues with the relationship with the NIH, National Institute for Health, and China, and the whole Wuhan development process. You see all that, and you really lose faith and trust in the system and the national health authorities.
You know, Jimmy, in summary, it's going to be really interesting to see how Boris Johnson is remembered in history. He's a pretty flamboyant guy, pretty colorful guy. I'm personally sorry, both for him and for the sake of the country and perhaps the Conservative Party, that the actions went the way that they did for him. Any comments?
Well, I think, you know, he did, I mean, the politics internally with his party, with the Conservatives, be interesting to see. The Tories will have to sort this out. I think they will. I think Boris Johnson did a lot for his country in the short period of time that he was prime minister. Challenging times, I agree. He'll probably go down fairly positively, but he just couldn't keep the coalition together and, you know, just couldn't keep his ministers in line. And that's the challenge that he's facing, as are many leaders in Europe right now.
And you know what? There you have it, you guys. Time for a real quick talk. Not necessarily real quick, but it's the top of the hour in the areas where stations who broadcast the show are located. And we've got about 26 stations that carry this show. As soon as the top of the hour news is over, we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in back for the second half of KER Politics. We're going to talk a little bit. First of all, I'm going to get back to the Ukraine. Jim wants to talk about the Budapest Agreement that I think is very instrumental in this whole thing. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so I'd mentioned in the first segment today about the agreement in the United States and Russia, and including the UK, negotiating for the Ukrainian government to give up basically a third of the former Soviet nuclear arsenal, mm-hmm. On security guarantees of the sovereignty of Ukraine. And of course, the former Soviet government of Ukraine, for the Republic of Ukraine, actually stayed in power and cut that deal, but then they did start moving towards elections. It was incredibly corrupt, and there's no question corruption remains in every one of the former Soviet states to some level with the exception of the, you know, the Baltic states, which have done a pretty good job at cleaning things out because they decommunized. Ukraine was very late in that process. I after living in the Republic of Georgia, after, you know, serving and visiting in Ukraine before, I realize how challenging that is. And it takes a generation to move beyond that level of corruption. And of course, we have corruption here in the United States that many in Europe look at as just as bad as anything over there. So the real issue, though, the Budapest Agreement, 1994, between the Clinton administration, then Prime Minister, the UK Prime Minister, I think it was Tony Blair at the time, and it was John Major.
Yeah.
And then and Boris Yeltsin was to guarantee the sovereignty and guarantee the security of Ukraine if they would give up those nuclear weapons. Now, obviously, that turned into be a mistake. And I'm going to tell people out there, every one of the former East Bloc countries that were underneath the satellite umbrella of the former East Bloc countries, underneath the umbrella of the former Soviet Union, I'm talking about Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia, Poland, these countries were scared to death of the advances of Russia and Putin. Ukraine was also in that same boat. Belarus was the only one that maintained that same relationship, and that's because Lukashenko, the leader of Ukraine, has really never left office. It was a very powerful ally for Russia and Yeltsin all the way back. So after the Soviet Union collapsed. So that agreement to withdraw those nuclear weapons in 1994 in Budapest actually has been broken by the Russians. It was in 2014 in the invasion of Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been broken by the United States and the UK for failing to act in the defense of Ukraine. Now, a lot of problems, a lot of challenges with what's happening out there. But you cannot ignore that agreement and those relationships, and then fast forward to 2014, 2015, and the Minsk Agreement, where under the threat of violence from Russia invading Crimea and causing more problems in eastern Ukraine, and say somehow that wasn't done under duress and that those agreements were still, you know, that any of this was still valid. And ultimately, it's about power that makes these things valid or not. So anyway, I just wanted to follow up from the first segment to give people some background there, and they're welcome and should research it, exactly what happened and the agreements that were made and that have been broken by all parties involved.
Yeah. Well, the one comment that I want to make, I want to get back. Ukraine is Ukraine, and it's going to be with us for a while, and we're not going to change anybody's mind, I don't think, but I firmly agree with you, Jim, from what I know categorically about that situation. I want to talk a little bit about something that I've noticed this past week on the various networks, and that is that a lot of the networks, including CNBC, seem to be turning against President Biden. And we actually had a CNBC personality apologize for reporting some incorrect news. Why the big change, Jim?
I think it's becoming quite obvious that the powers that have kept Biden in office have decided that maybe he's no longer... They're gonna basically throw him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer a viable candidate for 2024. He stated that he would run again in 2024, that he was capable of doing that. I think Democrats are absolutely terrified that he may go ahead and try to continue with that election process, not allow others to step into the 2024 primaries. Because you really have to get started now.
Yeah.
And if he continues to make the statement that he's going to run again, then other people will not have the advantage. They won't have the money. They won't have the resources. They won't have the political connections within the party, the Democratic Party, to actually compete against him or to compete against Republican nominee.
Right.
And that puts them in a very difficult position. So they're going to have to take action fairly quickly. And I think what you're seeing with the media is, you know, as kind of the spokespeople for the Democratic Party with mainstream media and tech and corporate interests, is they've given up on it. And they realize the risk to the party by keeping around. He just makes too many gaffes. He says things and does things that are too dangerous for the party and too dangerous for their potential consolidation of power they're working towards. And well,
Jimmy,
I think you're seeing it.
Yeah, this past week, Biden came out and announced that he had cancer. That struck me as being probably a pretty good segue out of office. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, the White House and some pundits, WAPO, a couple of writers, some leftists have said, oh, he was talking about skin cancer sometime. He made it very clear. It was basically off script. And he made the comment that he had basically, because of oil industry and his and it growing up, he and many others have cancer. And of course that, media is like, what? Everyone's like, oh my gosh. People have tried to just, well, he's talking about skin cancer. That has nothing to do with oil. Skin cancer has nothing to do with oil. So anybody that's actually trying to defend that comment, basically it shows that Joe Biden is a pathological liar. And we've known this since he ran for office in 1988, where he said he was the top of his class, where he had two degrees, all these things. There's lots of evidence that he makes stories up. Well, you combine that with the faux pas he made in this last Saudi trip, fist bumping the bin Salman, the Saudi prince, the responsible for the Khashoggi, according to all sources, responsible for the Khashoggi killing. The statement that he made, that the honor of the Holocaust, and then corrected himself and said the horror of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The continuation of these mistakes really, really hurts him and hurts the Democratic Party, hurts credibility of Washington, and I think they're just done with it. I think people can't continue on supporting him. And you're seeing people back away from him in the very powerful people of the Democratic Party.
Well, you can't say that for the Republican Party in the sense that they're, of course, backing away from Joe Biden, but the second half to that statement that's even more important is Republicans are really, really getting ready for 2024. I mean, you see that in the Trump camp. You certainly see that in the DeSantis camp. And I think sooner rather than later, you're going to see it more and more in the Ted Cruz camp also. Although I firmly believe that we have said so many times that it looks like it's going to be Trump and DeSantis.
I think it's probably will. When you look at the number of Hispanics that have moved to the Republican Party, you see the Democrats like flailing with issues that focusing on very progressive leftists. It's very problematic for them.
Yeah.
The polls do not look good.
No, the polls look terrible, to say the least. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy and I are going to be right back to wrap up KER Politics. Stick around. Welcome back here to wrap up KER Politics. We're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about the loss of the Hispanic vote that we see happening for the Democrats. We're going to talk a little bit about the poll numbers. Poll numbers for Joe Biden are terrible. Here in Washington State, for example, his approval rating is in the low 40 percentile. Being an incredibly strong blue state, I think that's a harbinger of things to come personally. Jimmy, how about you?
Yeah, I think in many places, Biden's numbers are incredibly low. People are going to be linked. The Democratic Party is going to be linked directly to him. I think a very interesting race is Kim Shire in Washington for the congressional seat, where
I think
in April...
That's going to be a tough one. I voted for Shire, already did. But I think that's going to be a tough one. I really think that Patty Murray is a pretty formidable foe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Kim Shire running congressional district, I think, down in the 8th. You're talking about Tiffany Smiley.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about Smiley. Correct.
Yeah,
that's going to be a pretty good race to watch.
Yeah, that will be a good one. And I think that's a close one. It's coming close. People are beginning to realize that, hey, there's a possibility that, and no one wants to talk about it in the media because it would be shocking if Patty Murray, the number three Democrat seniority-wise in the Senate, lost to basically a non-political wife of a former soldier.
Right.
I'll be speaking at a Republican Lincoln and Reagan Day dinner in August, and Major Scott Smiley, Tiffany's husband, who's the blind military officer that was on off-duty, will be there as well. So it'll be interesting. What is, I think, with Kim Shire, this is the most interesting thing in Washington State. Kim Shire, in April, had praised Biden, had him out to, like, talk about how well, wonderful things were going and some of the things that she'd done. She is now, she's the Democrat incumbent. She is now running ads saying how she's going to fight the Biden administration. That's how much things have changed in Washington, Washington State. And it's happening all around the United States. Being tied to Biden in a moderate or in a contested Democratic seat is very, very dangerous. And you see that specifically with some of these minority groups that are really moving away. The latest polling shows a favorability rating with Hispanics in the United States at 19% for Joe Biden.
Wow.
19%. Over 70% disapprove strongly of Biden. That is a massive change. And the reason why is the Democratic caucus, the leaders have been appealing to extreme left progressive, basically rich liberal ideologues.
Mm-hmm.
They're alienating their foundations and their base. You're seeing a big, only 60, 65, maybe 69% approval rating in the black community, educated black community in, in some of the polling. These are absolutely staggering shifts in politics. And I will just say, thank God for Joe Biden, because he's showing the corruption inside Washington and the lies. And without that, we could have gone on and continued to deteriorate in a short, in over a long period of time. But he's moving so fast, people are stepping up and they're saying, wait a second, what are we doing right now in this nation? And I think that's really frustrating for Americans. And I think it's really frightening for the
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, I agree with you 100% when you say it would really, really make for a terrible future if Joe Biden didn't screw up as badly as he did during his term, and he definitely has screwed up pretty badly. I mean, I agree with you, being a Washingtonian my entire life. Patty Murray is basically the bastion of democracy, I would have to say, of the Democratic Party, not the bastion of democracy, but the bastion of the Democratic Party. Here in America, and Smiley, I think, has a shot. I don't know how good a shot she's got, because Patty Murray is a very, very intelligent politician and knows how to run a campaign.
She's got a lot of experience. She's an incumbent. She gets a lot of money because she's so she has so much seniority.
Right.
But that's what happens within the parties. You know, they pick the ones their favorite and their friends, and, you know, Chuck Schumer and the Senate, you know, the people that are funding the Senate, they're going to try to protect that seat. The problem is so many Americans are just absolutely, you know, fed up with the border. They're fed up with gas prices. They're fed up with foreign policy in Afghanistan, the Ukraine war, continuation of that, not feeling success. They're not feeling good about America. Housing prices are skyrocketing. Interest rates are skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't afford to live. You can't feed your family if you're on the margins. Those are the people that the Democrats are losing. They're losing the middle class, the working class that have voted all their lives because they thought Democrats were taking care of them, and they're not.
No.
And of course, Republicans have to wake up and say, hey, and protect those same people if they want to be successful.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting election. I'm still waiting with bated breath. August 7th here, we've got the primary in Washington State. I've been pretty active in the Republican Party heretofore, and it's going to be interesting to see how that one turns out. And I know it's a primary, but it's primaries oftentimes are really good barometers of things to come, Jim.
Well, and I will tell you of being still connected and involved there in Washington to a certain extent. There's some really ugly politics within the Republican Party that is going to cause problems for your county. It's ridiculous. They're fighting amongst, people lose integrity when they, and that's what's so disturbing to me. They're not doing it for the interests of the people anymore. They're doing it for their own ego and self-interest.
Yeah.
That's what happens with all parties. That's what happens with Republicans and too much power at all times. I despise that, and I hope that we will get more people that put the nation first, America first, whether they be Republican or Democrat, irrelevant, but they have to put America first, and I'm not seeing that.
No, not even close. It's getting to be a real mess. I know the more I get involved in Washington, the more I realize how intricate the political system really is. Politicians, God love most of them in that they are just human beings. They have their shortcomings. They have their long suits. There's no question about that. I am looking for some major changes in 2024. I'm repeating myself, but I am hoping and praying that we're going to have an executive officer really is going to start to get things done. The most important thing being we're going to stop the spread of Russian and Chinese power and revert back to the U.S. being the strongest country in the world, that people listening to us when we say something. That's really not happening right now, Jim.
No, unfortunately, people are laughing. They're laughing. They don't have any respect for this administration. The regime has made so many blunders overseas and alienated allies and friends, and are making, on this quest for climate change, really destroying the economy of the United States. And I think a lot of people, the latest polling shows that 1% think that's the most important issue out there. That's not going to get them anywhere. Roe v. Wade, that's not going to get them anywhere.
No.
January 6th commission's not going to get them anywhere. They're in trouble.
Well, I agree with you about Roe v. Wade. I think that's kind of probably, I think it's going to have more staying power than the January 6th commission, though. I believe the January 6th commission is going to dry up and get swept under the rug. I don't think there's any question about that. Roe v. Wade, though, that's a very emotional issue, and it's my opinion that one's probably going to be around for a while. Jimmy, we got 80 seconds, not 80 seconds, we got about 60 seconds left. You got the final word.
Yeah, so, with Roe v. Wade, remember the Supreme Court gave it to the states,
right,
where it should have been.
Right.
What we're seeing now is an attempt by Democrats to try to make this an issue, try to make gun control an issue, of course, after these tragic and very, despicable incidents at schools and mass shootings. But when the Democrats vote against selling our national stockpile to China, which they did yesterday, then something is wrong. They are not looking out in the best interests of the American citizen or the taxpayers.
Right.
They're allowing the Biden administration to sell oil to China, and they voted against a resolution, actually a law, that would stop that from happening. And of course, we're running out of oil, we're running out of energy, and we're running out of time to protect this nation.
And it's about time. Thanks for bringing that up, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with our daily editorial starting Monday.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.